Heads roll in a major reorganization at EAA. A TSA screener finds $5,000 and turns it into lost and found. And two other TSA screeners are going to jail. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for the weekend of Friday, January 13th, 2012. The Experimental Aircraft Association reportedly pink-slipped about 30 staffers yesterday in a move President Rod Hightower says, quote, "will strengthen our organization in several key areas to more effectively meet the needs of our members, donors, and aviators. We've made these moves after spending the past year reviewing EAA's operations to best align them with the organization's goals and listening to many EAA members and supporters regarding the most valued areas of EAA," unquote. Find a complete look at who's gone in the text version of this story, dated January 12th, at aero-news.net. EAA's Dick Nepinski says not all these positions will remain empty, and there are already a few new hires to report. Jeff Skiles, famous for being first officer on the Miracle on the Hudson, is now vice president, chapters, and youth education. He's spent the last 2 years as Young Eagles co-chairman. Chad Jensen has been named manager of EAA's homebuilders community. Heidi Strand of Blue Door Consulting in Oshkosh will lead EAA marketing on an interim basis while EAA completes a search for new vice president of marketing. And unfilled so far is a new position called vice president Air Venture. Stay tuned. John DeCamp tells the Star-Ledger that over his 9 years as a TSA screener at Newark Liberty Airport, he's seen his share of loose change or jewelry left in checkpoint bins by passengers in a hurry. But he says that on December 27th, he was making his rounds in Terminal C when he discovered $5,000 in cash wadded up on the floor. He turned it into United Continental in the hopes its rightful owner could be found, and his decision is making news. TSA's Federal Security Director, Donald Drummer, praises DeCamp, quote, "This is a premier example of a TSA officer instinctively doing the right thing," unquote. DeCamp adds that he allowed his story to be released by the media because of all the negative coverage TSA gets for theft by screeners. Quote, "It just gets a little tiring, people constantly saying something. You guys are always in the paper for something bad. But hopefully some of the positive things will start getting out, like my situation," unquote. TSA's Lisa Farbstein says DeCamp will be recognized in front of various airport employees, companies, and agencies and honored at a future employee event. But will that make a positive difference, or simply reinforce the perception that honest TSA agents are a rarity? Even the fact the story is making headlines suggests it's as rare as man bites dog. Even as the TSA is crowing over DeCamp's story, two former TSOs at JFK International in New York have been sentenced to 6 months in jail and 5 years probation after admitting they stole $40,000 in cash from a passenger's bag. The Daily Mail reports the Queens District Attorney's Office says 44-year-old Kumar Persad of Queens and 31-year-old Devon Webb of the Bronx pleaded guilty to grand larceny, obstructing governmental administration, and official misconduct. According to prosecutors, Persad noticed the money while X-raying the bag of one passenger and alerted Webb by phone. Webb then marked the bag with tape. Persad opened it in another handling area and took the money, and the two met in a restroom to divide the money and hide it in their clothing. Police say nearly all the cash was found in the homes of the suspects. Along the coast of San Mateo County in California lies a formation called Muscle Rock. It's a displaced outcropping of the bedrock which underlies San Francisco, the epicenter of the 1906 earthquake there, and a popular spot for launching paragliders. But it was a scary place January 7th when pilots heard shots and what sounded like bullets whizzing by. Officers responded and arrested 38-year-old Alex Attard of Dale City and 49-year-old Edward Amatori of San Francisco, who were allegedly in nearby brush shooting a .22-caliber pellet gun. The San Francisco Chronicle reports the pair pleaded not guilty to charges of felony assault with a deadly weapon at their arraignment on Monday. The San Mateo County Times reports Amatori has a prior conviction for shooting someone with a pellet gun in South San Francisco. Still ahead, a Kansas congressman starts a petition to President Obama. A privacy group presses DOT for info on civilian drone use. And Jack Pelton is in the market for a guitar. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Friday Aero Briefing. President Obama at some point made a tactical decision to paint general aviation as a frivolous pursuit of one percenters. Kansas 4th District Republican Representative Mike Pompeo is seeking re-election and has decided that a petition to the White House seeking a stop to the rhetorical trashing of the industry is a worthwhile campaign pursuit. Pompeo has created a website, www.americaflies.us, specifically for the petition drive. The message to President Obama reads, in part, quote, "Dear Mr. President, you have made it clear that you not only disregard the importance of this vital American industry, you have fought to damage it, whether through airport fees, aircraft appreciation policies, or by repeatedly using the aviation industry as a tool to create class warfare for your political gain, you are hurting American jobs and families. The purpose of this petition is to remind you that countless American lives are touched by aviation and to share with you the stories of those families and communities you are hurting. We ask that you reverse your current course and immediately take steps to undo the damage your administration has done," unquote. In addition to the petition drive, Pompeo is asking anyone who has benefited from general aviation to share their stories. Find the website at americaflies.us. If the increasing use of unmanned aircraft by civil law enforcement in the U.S. had been going smoothly up till now, it looks like the debate over privacy rights is starting to heat up. The Electronic Frontier Foundation accuses the U.S. government of covering up records of which agencies have received permission to fly drones for surveillance purposes and of ignoring a Freedom of Information Act request for a complete list. From its press release, EFF explains, quote, "Any drone flying over 400 feet needs a certification or authorization from the Federal Aviation Administration, part of the DOT, but there is currently no information available to the public about who specifically has obtained these authorizations or for what purposes." EFF filed a Freedom of Information Act request in April of 2011 for records of unmanned aircraft activities, but the DOT so far has failed to provide the information, unquote. It's not clear exactly what EFF is chasing. The group mentions a cattle rustling incident that appears to refer to a case which took place in Nelson County, North Dakota, where, as ANN reported, Sheriff Kelly Jenke got assistance from Customs and Border Protection after being chased off a farm. Privacy advocates seem to overlook the fact that Jenke had a warrant for the search, and EFF seems to have missed the point that the drone was flown by CBP, not by local law enforcement. FAA approval for testing of drones in civilian law enforcement applications above 400 feet AGL have been extremely limited and well-publicized when they have happened. EFF says it has escalated its efforts into a lawsuit. It's possible the list sought by the foundation simply doesn't exist, but the government is required by law to reply to a Freedom of Information Act request within 20 days, a provision which appears to be routinely ignored by the federal government. And finally today, Dan Grider is a Delta Airlines pilot, an instructor and airshow performer in the DC-3, and also a bluegrass musician known for putting together jam sessions at Oshkosh each year. Recently, Dan posted a video on YouTube offering an introductory lesson to guitar players who'd like to learn fingerplay. He linked it on his Facebook page, which prompted former Cessna CEO Jack Pelton to ask, "So, if I wanted to buy a guitar to learn how to play, what would you recommend?" Dan replied, "Jack, I'm sorry, you may have misunderstood. I'm a musician, not a magician. I've seen your landings. Save your money and buy a CD so no one gets hurt." Then in his next post, Dan added, "Okay, fine, I'm just kidding, Jack. I recommend a simple used guitar if you're unemployed. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that up." You can find Dan's video on YouTube by searching Dan Grider Fingerplay. It's great to see that after a really tough year, Dan's sense of humor has survived. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.